This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Hello and welcome to The Forum. My guest on this weekend's show is Donna Rowe, medical social worker for Residential Hospice. Welcome to the show, Donna.
Thank you, Rick. It's a pleasure to be here.
Donna, today we are going to discuss hospice care. It's a word that's well known, and I think maybe some understanding of what hospice care is a good topic to talk about today. It's also November being Home Care and Hospice Month, and we'll let you start off with what is hospice care.
Well, that's a good start, Rick, because there's a lot of misconceptions about exactly what that entails. Hospice actually is a philosophy of care that focuses on the quality of life, comfort, and dignity for patients that are no longer seeking curative treatments for their illness.
Indicators when someone might be thinking hospice care might be in order. What are some of those indicators, or what should people pay attention to if that kind of service might be needed?
Well, some of the indicators that you might need hospice and maybe even just a consultation for hospice, that could include frequent trips to the ER or the hospital, needing more help with daily care such as bathing, feeding, dressing, perhaps increased falls, weight loss, and decreased appetite, and an increase in shortness of breath or need to wear oxygen all of the time.
Now, this is probably for someone who has, as you said, decided not to seek curative care, more than maybe if someone's just having some trouble getting around, or, as you say, starting to have more trips to hospital. Is there sort of a differentiation there?
It never hurts to talk with your doctor about what's going on and discussing options, and it might be just a hospice evaluation. You're under no obligation to seek an evaluation, and you can get an order from your doctor to do that. And you can choose any hospice service of your choosing. And there might be other options, too, like a home health agency might be warranted. There's different levels of care and need. So that might be an option, too, and it could be a matter of just needing extra support in the home.
What services are offered through hospice care to make it clear what actually is done for the person needing it?
The services that are included is it's composed of the interdisciplinary team, and that includes the medical director, the registered nurse, a medical social worker, a home health aide, a chaplain, and also a volunteer coordinator. A volunteer coordinator can assist the family in respite care for the caregiver at home and allow them to be able to do shopping or something like that for short periods of time while the volunteer coordinator stays with the patient. Other services include bereavement services. Those are extended to families for up to 13 months after the patient passes away. Also, expert medical care. You've got top-notch people in your corner when you're on hospice care who are looking at pain management, symptom control, emotional and spiritual support. All of that, it's a holistic view and purpose. With hospice care, not just the physical, but all of the other aspects that are going on, spiritual, emotional as well.
As far as the care, is that something, I guess, depending on what you might choose, is it 24/7, or does it have given hours, or maybe you could explain that?
Okay. No. Hospices are a visiting intermittent service. That means that we don't come and stay in the home or wherever the patient resides. We don't come and stay. We offer, generally, this is the outline, it's 2 nursing visits per week, 2 home health aide visits per week. They're the ones that provide the shower or bed bath, whatever the patient requires. Medical social worker and the chaplain usually go in 1 time per month or as needed. The disciplines try to kind of pepper the visits throughout the week to make it manageable for the family. We call ahead and make sure that our visits are needed at that time, and we come in as needed. And really, the person that drives the plan of care is the patient. Sometimes these services that we offer, maybe they don't require or want a home health aide. They don't have to have any of the services that they don't need. And we come in as the patient wants us to. They're the ones who drive the plan of care.
Do they need to be in their home? What happens about maybe, say, nursing homes or other types of care facilities? Do you go to those too, or is this just for the residential home?
Hospice can be provided in the home setting, a nursing home, or an assisted living facility. Hospice is not a brick and mortar. It's not a place. It's a service that is provided, and it's wherever the patient calls home.
And then finally, I guess, would be something that's on everyone's mind. As far as hospice care, how is hospice care paid for?
And that's really a very important component of this. Hospice is a benefit of Medicare, and it's covered by the Medicare and Medicaid insurance benefit. Private insurance payers also have a hospice benefit, and within that benefit, what's included are things like medical supplies. Those can be like the hospital bed, the oxygen, bedside table, walker, wheelchair, incontinence supplies, and any other medical equipment that is needed.
So in other words, you could have a dual situation where Medicare is taking care of some, and then maybe your personal or insurance or whatever takes care of other portions?
Well, no. Actually, if you are Medicare eligible, if you're receiving Medicare, Medicare is the primary payer source for hospice services. If you're not receiving Medicare benefits yet, you haven't reached the age eligibility, then insurances will kick in at that time.
So for maybe just a bit more clarity, you pointed out it's sort of different whether you've reached Medicare age or you're not at Medicare age. How is it actually, say, for those 65 and older as far as, like, the payment?
For 65 and older and a Medicare recipient, Medicare reimburses hospice services 100%. All of the nursing visits, all of the medical equipment, medications that are related to the admitting diagnosis, all of those are included in that benefit. So there's zero out-of-pocket dollars to the patient, and the family will not get a bill. And I did also want to clarify something, too. Even though we're a visiting intermittent service, patients and families need to know that hospices, the benefit to that, too, is they have hospice available to them 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, holidays, weekends, and that's assisted by an on-call staff. So if something is occurring at 2 o'clock in the morning and there's an issue or there's a change in condition or just a question, families can reach out to that hospice service and have somebody either take care of it over the phone or a nurse will come out at any time of the day or night.
And as we come to the end of the show, maybe we'll just ask you again, maybe it's a person's thinking of it, maybe it's a family. What, again, is a recommendation when people might be thinking of hospice service?
Well, they can certainly reach out to their doctor and, you know, start that conversation. And from there, the doctor can generate a referral on their behalf. And one thing I would like the listeners to know is that, you know, a hospice decision is often a family decision because everybody comes into play at that time to support and care for the patient. And so whatever decision they make will be the right one. But if they would like to get some information, you're under no obligation whatsoever. Please reach out and ask for an evaluation and at least an informational, and any hospice service would be very happy to do that.
Donna Rowe with Residential Hospice, thank you very much for joining us on the forum this weekend.
Well, Rick, thank you very much for having me, and I would just like to wish all of your listeners today a very happy holiday season.
And you can join us again next weekend for another edition. For WSMI, I'm Rick Davis.